Welcome to the City Current Radio Show, focused on sharing and powering the good in our community. This show takes an in-depth look at the heartbeat of the Mid-South, the organizations and individuals leading by example to fuel change, and how we can make a difference. Now, here's your host, City Current President Jeremy Park.
Welcome to the City Current Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Park. This weekend, as always, we get to share inspiring stories about organizations, individuals who are out powering the good in our community. And so we're honored to be kicking it off with our first guest, Bruce Nix. He's the Director of Business Agility and Technical Client Engagement for Vaco, which is a premier talent and solutions firm. They're a part of City Current as well, so we know Vaco very, very well. How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm good. I'm doing very well.
So let's start with a little bit about Vaco overall, and then we'll kick into your world of agility. Vaco does so much good here in the Mid-South in terms of preparing those who are looking for employment and working with employers to fill those valuable positions. So you work on both sides of the spectrum, but give us a little bit of a context for Vaco.
Sure. So Vaco is definitely, probably as most people are aware of, are primarily known for talent and staffing placement. And that's certainly been a core line of business for them. And that's certainly, as we talk about working in the community, that is one thing that we very much take to heart is obviously the relationships. It's not just about placing someone in a company. We do feel the candidates that they have, that we have, are, you know, are lifelong clients of ours, just as we hope that they're lifelong candidates for the organization that we place them in. I myself am not a recruiter, but obviously I work with a lot of recruiters. And one of the things that we are doing in the community is we are actually, we just kicked off an initiative that where people that have been furloughed, displaced, right, which is unfortunate, but we are actually working with Give Camp Memphis, which is another local community driven initiative where the MemTech community comes together and helps out charities in the area. So we felt it would be a good collaboration and partnership with Give Camp Memphis plus Vaco, obviously with the people that we have and that we know, to be able to actually put people back to work with some of these charities who often don't have the budget to do a lot of the work that they have or, you know, access to these skill levels. So for every hour that is being worked, Vaco is actually donating an hour. So you can actually get some very good talent for around 50% of that cost. So it's a way, again, it's a way for us to give back to the community. It's a way for people to still stay active. And it's a way for some of these charities to be able to get some of their projects done. Another initiative is the call center project that we're doing with the city of Memphis, where again, it's putting some displaced workers back out there, being able to talk to the community. So for people who have questions about COVID-19 benefits, things like that, they're able to call this hotline, this call center, and get that answered. So it's another good partnership between Vaco and the city of Memphis. And we always look for opportunities to do that, again, because we feel like we're in Memphis, but Vaco has 40 plus locations around the globe. So anytime we can partner with the community, we want to be part of that community. We want to be able to give back.
Absolutely. You all are heavily involved in the community on so many different fronts. And I love the fact that you're putting your expertise to good use and partnering up with different nonprofits. And obviously where there's a huge void, creating opportunities out of these challenges to be able to help everyone. And so we've had your team come on and share everything from resume writing tips and professional development tips, interview tips. Give us, I know, and then we'll dive into agility, but give us one or two of just your favorite top tips when it comes to those who are looking for employment, putting their best foot forward.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the market is going to be pretty saturated with a lot of talented people. Anything that you can do to, you know, put yourself ahead of that other candidate, obviously, is going to be critical. I think the main thing, a lot of our recruiters are opening themselves up. If you have not touched your resume in a number of years, they are open to actually just providing feedback, maybe helping you restructure it a little bit. And a lot of times, a lot of very talented people are targeted more towards, hey, my resume kind of shows me doing stuff. What they need to think about are what are the outcomes that doing actually accomplished so that people can understand, okay, it's great you stood up this team, did XYZ, but what was the result of you doing that? So I would say, if anything, what I see a lot is a lot of the doing. So look at what is that doing result in, and make sure you're crafting the language appropriate for that.
Valuable advice. Talk about agility. This is your world, obviously, but let's start by defining agility.
There's really two answers to this, and this is really from Evan Laybourne, who's the founder of the Business Agility Institute. But there's the practice of agile, which is a specific framework or mechanics of it. And then there's business agility. And business agility really is, as defined by the Business Agility Institute, business agility is the capacity and willingness of an organization to adapt to, create, and leverage change for their customers' benefit. So if you look at that in the environment we're currently in, a lot of organizations and companies are really having to figure out how are they achieving that agility, right? And a good example is really the restaurant industry, where, you know, if the customers can't come to you, how can we still generate revenue and produce a positive experience for our customers? And so they've pivoted to curbside pickup, delivery pickup, right? Whatever they can do. And that's really what agility is. It's simply, it's being more proactive. Certainly, we want to be able to do that. A lot of people found themselves in a reactive state because it hit us very quickly. So, and the two examples that I gave about what Vaco was doing with both the Memtech Give Camp and the City of Memphis, those are examples of business agility. How can we not just be victims of the change, right? We don't want just change driving us. We want to be able to drive change.
Managing disruption, looking at opportunities out of disruption, being nimble and flexible and creative.
Exactly. I mean, that's what business agility really is. It's how flexible are we to meet the market demands of today?
So when you start talking about agility and sitting down with businesses and saying, okay, let's figure out where you are in this process. Let's look at how you're managing disruption. Let's look at how you're leveraging the talent that you have, but the talent that you also might need in the future. Where do those conversations start?
Where I like to start is really at the leadership level. I mean, that's where it needs to start. I mean, leadership needs to go first in business agility. Because, and you may hear the term agile transformations or just change transformations. And a lot of times where we've come to is that agile as a practice has typically started in IT as a means to, hey, we want to deliver software faster, right? And that is certainly not the goal. The goal is to increase customer experiences and improve financial performance. And so, and if that's the case, then leadership really needs to go first there. So we try to have the conversations with leadership and really understand, why do you feel like you need to change? One, because maybe an organization doesn't feel like they need to change. If certainly if your NPS score is high, if your stock price is high, whatever indicators that you're using, whatever metrics or KPIs, maybe they're good enough. You don't think you need to change right now. But as we've learned, in the old models of product development, that change only occurred probably, you know, every couple of years. Now change is occurring on a monthly, if not weekly basis. Just there's always, you know, somebody out there in a garage with a laptop looking to just kind of start nibbling away at your customer base. So in that case, we have to really look at creative ways. Again, it's, you know, have you reached your tipping point? What are the challenges and pains that your customers are feeling? So where we like to start is either at the customer journey perspective, walk us through your customer journey. Again, looking for those pain points. We also believe in coming in and doing an assessment, talking with individuals, looking at the teams, looking at your entire system, not just IT, so that we can get a holistic picture of really where are the bottlenecks in your system as you go to deliver the value to your customer.
When you do that assessment and you come back, is it a roadmap that then you present and say, okay, here are recommendations, here's a roadmap to start exploring? Because part of this, I think, just like innovation, it's an ongoing process, right? And so you continually have to look at where you are, revamp things, constantly look for opportunities to create more change. Because as you mentioned, disruption happens not just, you know, yearly or monthly, it's weekly and probably even daily at this point, even hourly, it feels like in some cases.
Right.
And so constantly being attuned to that and looking for opportunities, and that becomes a culture thing, right? So that's something that then has to permeate. Like you said, it may start with the leadership, but then it's got to go all the way through the company and the organization. So talk about kind of what's creative in terms of a roadmap and how companies can start to execute and create this culture.
Yeah. Yes. So as a short answer, yes, a roadmap comes out of that assessment. So that, and part of that is, you know, how big that roadmap is and how detailed that roadmap is really depends a lot on the engagement that we're in. Certainly we want to look at the entire organization. Sometimes that's possible, sometimes that's not. So, but with that caveat, the roadmap certainly is there to define that. And we always try to start with, you know, here are the areas that we need to start with first. And then to your point, you know, the roadmap is, it's a living document. It's really an artifact, because as we learn, right, just as part of our assessment is looking at sort of the funding models of organizations, and we know that annual funding really doesn't feed well into innovation, because innovation needs some space to grow and flex based on those changing needs. Doing it in smaller chunks and even quarterly, you know, 8 to 12 weeks is probably, quite honestly, as much as you need to plan out. That's not to say you don't forecast, right? But the problem comes where you make a plan for 12 months out, and then you expect teams to commit to just that plan.
Share maybe one or two of your favorite tips when it comes to looking at agility and the opportunities it creates.
I mean, as far as tips, looking at business agility, it really, you have to take a systems approach. Because where I see a lot of agile transformations fail is when they're just looking at spinning up a scrum team. And I don't know if you're familiar with scrum or not, but it's just one particular framework or approach in the attempt to achieve business agility. And so they'll spin up all of these different teams, but there's no real synchronization or coordination between them. And so it's sort of like, if you look at your house and you say, I want my house to be more energy efficient, and so you go out and buy a $10,000 state-of-the-art air conditioning unit, but you do nothing to plug the holes in the house. You have one specific unit that's been optimized, that's fantastic, but you're not achieving your overall results because you're not optimizing the hole. And that's really the tip that I would probably give people, because again, what I hear is, the teams aren't delivering fast enough. Well, are you giving them, you know, are you funding the project or the product? You know, how quickly is that process from an HR perspective? How quickly are you staffing for the team from a release perspective? You know, how many projects are in front of theirs? So even changing that project mindset, probably, which would lead into my second tip, is to really start getting out of the project mindset and looking more into the product-centric or even value stream, which is a higher concept, it's a higher abstract, but that's also gonna give you the flexibility to be able to adapt and react to customer demands and to market demands, because that's really what organizations need today, is flexibility in being able to meet those customer demands. Because, you know, as a customer, right, and you've probably done it, you find a really cool app, and if your first experience is crappy, you're going to delete that app. So we have to figure out, how can we meet those customers in those key moments to be able to really acquire and retain them?
Go ahead and wrap up with contact information on how listeners can get in touch with you and carry this conversation forward and have you come out and open these conversations with them.
So you can get in touch with me at Vaco, bnix@vaco.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. I would also invite anyone. A friend and I co-founded the local Memphis Agile Practitioners Meetup, and we meet the last Thursday of every month, and you can find us on meetup.com, where we have a lot of different companies and leaders come out to talk exactly this, you know, and then of course, vaco.com.
Well, Bruce, thank you for all you and your team do. Greatly appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, appreciate you and City Current and all that you guys do. Thank you.
Lipscomb and Pitts Insurance is proud to power the City Current Radio Show. Our mission at Lipscomb and Pitts Insurance is to protect your business, employees, and family while enriching and impacting our community. As the Mid-South's largest privately held insurance agency, Lipscomb and Pitts worked with over 200 different insurance providers offering commercial, employee benefits, and personal insurance. If you're looking for a relationship based on performance, call 321-1000 or visit lpinsurance.com.